job, girls. Amen. I'm glad Jesus will never forsake us. Amen. He's with us, and it does get better farther on. Amen. Son, leave me about right there. Maybe just a tick more back this way, if you would. And I'm going to slowly warm up into preaching gear tonight. If I can get there, I'm in the book of Numbers again tonight, chapter 21. Numbers 21, we preach from here some this morning. And we want to go back to this and trusting that the Lord will give us some truth again tonight and help us. I appreciate the help the Lord has given us from this study and kind of an obscure text and one that we're not greatly familiar with. But I tell you, it has been jam-packed full of helpful, encouraging truth. And I pray tonight that you'll follow along. It'll be a little bit different as far as how we unfold some things to you tonight. But I'm trusting and praying that the Lord will help us all the same. Numbers 21, stand with me if you would. Could we read our verses again? Amen. Well, I'm going to anyway, all right? And Numbers 21:10. I thought about this. I preached the message I preach. In fact, I preached on it a couple times back in January this year, the message We Win. I don't know if y'all remember that, where we read our text is Revelation 19 through 22. Read all four chapters. And when you read text, sometimes we preachers say, well, for sake of time, I'm only going to read one verse. And I failed to tell them this in these words on Friday night. Amen. What I read tonight is far more important than what I say about what I'm reading tonight. The power's in the Word of God. The power's in the Word of God. And thank God for preaching and teaching and expounding of these things. But the most important thing we'll do is read God's Word. And so let's read it one more time tonight. Numbers 21, verse number 10. The Bible said, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Aji-Abarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness. It cometh out the coast of the Amorites, for Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore, it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks it goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto ye. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matanah, and from Matanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. That'll be our reading tonight. Again, we're looking at these verses. You can be seated. Let's pray together. And we'll continue our thought, a series of thoughts we've been preaching on the God of the valleys, the God of the Valley of Arnon, the Valley of Arnon. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the Word of God. Lord, in a lot of ways, physically tonight, we feel limited. And Lord, you know our condition. And Lord, you know what we need tonight. I pray that you touch our voice and our body. And Lord, touch our mind and our heart. And Lord, I pray as we desire to be a blessing, would you make us that tonight? I pray the Word of God would be light, Lord, to the children of God in these dark days. Give us something tonight, a word from heaven. And Lord, we could hang our spiritual life upon, Lord, tonight and, Lord, the days of this week. Lord, I pray that you'd give us something, Lord, that would be a help to us this evening. Lord, if there's one among us tonight that's lost, Lord, I pray that they would come to know the God of heaven as their Lord and Savior, and that, Lord, you would rescue them tonight. Amen. Lord, draw them to yourself. Lord, let it be so. Lord, that they would come, find themselves, Lord, making their way to the Lord Jesus tonight. And Lord, all that you do in sinner and saint alike, we'll thank you for it and we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Numbers 21, we understand just quickly tonight again that Israel is now coming to a close, their wilderness wanderings, this great big long circle they've been running in, is now going to come to a close. They're at the fulfillment of the 40 years, and the generation that God said their carcasses would fall in the wilderness, they have fallen. And now the new generation is ready to get is getting ready to make their way to the edge of Canaan one more time. And eventually they're going to cross over and inhabit everything that God had promised to Abraham and even to that very generation. We understand that as we read the verses that we read tonight, again, that in verse number 10, they are setting forward. They're not backing up. They're not just walking around in circles, but now there is a destination in view. In Numbers 21, I believe in these verses, began those last few miles of their journey into Canaan land. Canaan land, we might say, and I believe you'll see literally tonight, Canaan's land, by the time you get to verse number 20, is just in sight. Amen. They're about ready to leave the wilderness once and for all and dwell in Beulah's land. Amen. The land flowing with milk and honey. And what a time that that's going to be for them. And so on this journey, in this last leg of the journey, we find them having entered into what is known in verse 13 into a place that is called Arnon, which is in the wilderness. In the midst of calling attention to this leg of their journey, there is an addendum that is made in verse number 14 about something that God has done in this wilderness. And there they quote from and reference another book that is not the Bible, but a history book, a book of the wars of the Lord. And it said there what He did in the Red Sea, and in the brooks of Arnon. A brook is a stream that runs through the lower part of a valley. In fact, in verse number 20, we read that all the scene and all the stops along the way, in verse number 20, it said this took place in the valley. And so Arnon is the stretch of wilderness in a valley scene that the children of Israel are entering into. A word Arnon, the name Arnon means a brawling stream, a bubbling stream, and it should speak of a time of joy. It ought to speak of a time of victory. It ought to speak of a time where the blessings of God are bubbling up. But as we read the verses again to you tonight, what we understand is they're in a dry and a thirsty land. Evidently, they're thirsty and without water, for God said to Moses, amen, gather the people together and I will give them water. And so evidently the stream, the brawling stream, is dried up. Evidently there once was some water there, but now, amen, it has all but vanished and they've been reduced to simply depending on God, amen, to come through for them in another valley of their life. And God did, and God gave them water. And we preached on that this morning. And what a God our God is, the God of the valleys, the God of Arnon, that when we're lacking in joy, and when victory seems to be dried up, and when it seems like, amen, we have spent everything that we have and are at the end of our rope, and our God is able to bring us through the valleys that, amen, we find ourselves in. And He does that in this text by giving His people, amen, miraculously life-saving drink. And so we've been looking at these verses on the God of the valleys, the valley of Arnon. We looked at the path into the valley, verses 10, 11, and 12. The path into the valley, simply put, is God was proving to them in the way that He was leading them that He was going to take care of them no matter what they faced in the valley. And so in our journey, we look back and we can say God has been faithful. Amen. God has been faithful every day, that no matter what valley we may be in tonight, amen, before we ever entered into that valley, God has done some things in our life and has proven that He is a faithful God. And we can trust Him. We look at the progress of their path as they're setting forward. And we look at the places along their path, oboth, meaning a bottle or a water skin. And Adji-Abarim, meaning ruins of the passerby. And so in these places along their path, amen, all they have is a little bottle of water to their name. And they look around and they see so many that have fallen along the way. And yet God has proven faithful that He brought them through Oboth and He brought them through Abi-Adjarim. And what a God, amen, He is, reminding us of our own insufficiency and even the casualty of others along the way. But it is God that is directing our path. And then we talk about the positioning in their path. They were running a journey and walking a path toward the sun rising. And I just can't get over that phrase, as God has given to us. Amen. Looking toward the direction of hope. Looking toward the sun rising speaks of the faithfulness of God and the hope in the child of God that we find in looking to the Lord. I believe it speaks of the blessed hope that we have that Jesus is soon to return and that we're headed to a land in which the sun will never set. Amen. In fact, we're headed to a new heaven in which the Bible said there is no need of the sun. Amen. And no need of candle by night. Amen. For the Lord and the Lamb will be the light of that city. And so along our path, we're looking forward and setting toward that, amen, sunrise day of eternity. All of this proves that God is leading the way. And then we looked at this morning and in another service, the provision in the valley. And God has brought them this way. And now they're in the wilderness of Arnon. And they make their way now into the valley. They're no longer wandering, but now they are journeying. This is a valley that God has brought them to. Amen. This is not a valley due to their own carnality and rebellion. But this is a valley that God has indeed led them to, and God is going to provide for them in this valley exactly what they need. In fact, we see it play out in this text. Again, Oboth means all they had. In verse 11 was a little bottle of water. And now God brings them to the wilderness and into the valley. And a bottle of water is only going to get you so far. But it was in the valley when they got there and were thirsty and dry. Then the Bible said God brought them to Beer. And Beer simply means a well. Amen. And so when they had run out of what they had in their bottle, amen, God had a well for them to drink from. Amen. I'm glad when we have exhausted everything we have. Amen. And we've taken in and spent the last drop of everything we've stored up along the way, and our God has a well for you and I to drink from. Amen. What a blessed God we have tonight. Amen. We looked at the present environment of these provisions. Amen. That they are in a dry environment and they are in a dangerous environment in verse number 13. Amen. But it didn't matter how dry or dangerous it was. Amen. And there was water that was flowing underneath the ground. Amen. And God was going to give His children the provision of water to satisfy their thirst. We looked at the providential encouragement of the provisions that are made. And God gave an encouraging word, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Amen. I can imagine as Moses spake for God on that day. Sissy, I imagine when they heard them words, they said, that encourages our soul. Amen. We don't know how He's going to do it. We don't see a drop of water in sight. But God has encouraged us with a promise that He will give us water. Amen. And so we looked at the grace that is pictured in this text. Amen. That beer not only means well, but it implies a well. Amen. That is sourced from a fresh and flowing stream or fountain. Amen. Below the surface of the wilderness, there was water flowing. Amen. Beyond what the eye could see. Amen. There was a fountain below their feet. Amen. And so we think about where we're at in the days in which we live and the valleys we face. Amen. In a dry and a thirsty land on the top side. Amen. It don't look like there's anything to sustain us. Amen. But below the surface of what we're living through. Amen. Grace flows as fresh and as free. Amen. As a fountain springing up to feed our spiritual life. Amen. We've not made it cause we're anything. Amen. But we've made it through the valley thus far. Amen. Because of the grace of God. Amen. I see the grace that is pictured. I see the God that is present in verse 16. Amen. The Lord spake unto Moses. Amen. Evidently God was there. And God had always been there. Amen. God had proven even over the last 40 years of wilderness wandering that God was with them whithersoever they went. Amen. This is not the first time God would give them water. In fact, He had already done it three other times before. He did it in Exodus 15 and gave them water at Marah. Amen. A place of bitterness, God gave them drink. In Exodus 17, He gave them water at Massah, the place of temptation, a place where they tempted God and doubted that God could give them drink. But God gave them water out of a rock, and that rock, Paul said, followed them, and that rock was Christ. And God gave them water in that place of temptation. In Numbers chapter 20, He gave them water at Meribah, the place of strife. Amen. And how God, amen, in spite of a failure that Moses had, and in spite of a lot of strife between the people and God and the people and Moses, and even Moses gets ticked off at the people, and there's all this strife, and nobody's doing what they ought to be doing, God gave them a drink anyway. Amen. I'm glad our God, whether we're in a place of bitterness and a place of temptation or a place of strife, amen, our God is ever present with us, and He can give us a drink of water. Amen. Here God is going to give them water again. Amen. But this time there's no grumbling. There's no murmuring. There's no complaining. Amen. The people now have learned to trust God. And oh, that we would learn to trust God tonight in the valleys that we're going through. Amen. Believing and being assured of in our soul that our God is present with us. We looked at the gathering that is proclaimed in verse 16. We looked at that this morning. Gather the people together. Amen. They couldn't be off doing their own thing. Amen. But when they would join, my friend, together in unity and in assembly, there would be enough for everybody to get a drink. And I'll digress from this. I got to hurry. We looked at the personal endeavors of its provision. The fact that God gave the promise, but they would have to dig. Amen. God gave the word, and God gave an encouraging promise. Amen. But they were going to have to labor as God brought it to pass. Amen. They're dry. No doubt they're weary. Amen. No doubt they don't know how things are going to turn out. Amen. But they dig on anyway. Preacher, how do you do that? Amen. We said this morning, they are dry and about to die, but they dig on a promise. Amen. That's all they've got. They can't see the water. Amen. They don't know how deep it is below the surface. Amen. But God said, gather the people together and I'll give them water. And they dug on, and they, my friend, dug. Amen. And labored and endeavored. Amen. We looked at the submission in their digging. They did it by the direction of the lawgiver. Amen. We looked at the staves in their digging. They didn't dig with shovels and pickaxes and backhoes and bulldozers. Oh no. Amen. All they had was a stave. And a stave is nothing more than a stick. Amen. Oh, how laborious that must have been. And we was talking this morning, Brother Mike and I, at the end of service, amen, about what that would have been like, how hard that would have been, almost an impossible task. Amen. And the only way you can explain they were able to dig with staves, amen, is that God got in that thing and God helped them dig. Amen. And that's the only way we're going to make it in the valley. Amen. We've got to have a friend get our stave. And we looked at those staves where these staves must have come from. They didn't come from the wilderness of Arnon. There were no, amen, staves worth anything. That's a dry ground. Amen. You find an old stick in the wilderness of Arnon. Amen. The minute you try to bust through the ground, it's going to break apart. Amen. But them elders of the children of Israel passed them staves on to the next generation. Amen. Many of those staves, Brother Mike reminded me this morning, had been made out of shittim wood and had been overlaid with gold, and they were the means by which these people dig. And so we're not looking for something new to dig with. Amen. We, my friend, take what's been passed down through the years. Amen. From our forefathers, the staves of old-fashioned praying and the staves of old-fashioned preaching and the staves of old-fashioned praising God and the old-fashioned staves of peculiar living. Amen. I'm glad we've got some things that have been passed down. Amen. Quit looking for something new to get you through. Amen. And just dig with what God's give us. Amen. A stave can't make, I know I'm re-preaching all this. I sense that we need to hear it again. Amen. A stave, my friend, is not a digging tool. Amen. It, all you can do is about put a small dent, amen, in the ground. Amen. But you just keep on swinging, her friend. God said, I'll give you water. Amen. And we're digging on a promise. We looked at this song in their digging. Amen. This is the first time Israel sang since Exodus 15. They never sang so long as they were in rebellion and wandering around. They never sang when all them bodies were dying on every hand. Amen. But now God has him set toward Canaan land. Amen. And all of a sudden, in the midst of a valley, in the midst where their tongue is cleaving to the roof of their mouth, in a valley in which their throat is parched and dried. Amen. They can't sing loud and they can't sing very long. Amen. And they probably can't sing very pretty. That's something about digging and doing what God said to do and trusting God was going to give them water, got their song back. Amen. And God got them through. Ain't you glad tonight that God will give a song in the valley? Amen. God can give a song in the midst of, amen, our lowest points in life. Amen. He'll give that and he'll do it, amen, through a promise that encourages our soul. Amen. And so there's the path in the valley. There is the provision in the valley. But, amen, for 20 minutes now, let me give you the last point, the progress through the valley. The progress through the valley. And there in the middle of verse number 18, the Bible said, amen, that God gave them, it doesn't say God gave them water, but it said God said he'd give them water, and evidently God did. You say, how do you know they got a drink? Because God said he'd give them a drink. Amen. The Bible didn't have to tell me that they got it. Amen. When it told me, when the Word of God told me God said he'd give them one, that was enough. Amen. And they dug and there's a breakthrough and God gave them water in the midst of that. Amen. And God sustained them with that provision. Amen. So that they could progress and make it through that valley. Amen. And so the progress through the valley, Israel has been led to this valley and the Lord has sustained them now by his grace. After getting a drink, they now are prepared to, amen, make the last leg of this journey, amen, through the valley right before they're getting ready to cross over on Canaan's side. Amen. Now this evening, what I want us to notice is this valley, amen, it was long, but it was not forever. This is a long valley. These verses we've read tonight, amen, have a lot of stopping places along the way. Amen. It seems to be taking them a long time to get through this. Amen. But by the time we end in verse number 20, Amen. Listen, all the way back there in verse number 13, I believe it was. Amen. Verse number 12, they're in a valley. Verse 13, they're in a wilderness in another valley. Amen. But by the time verse number 20 ends, Brother Mike, they're standing on top of Pisgah. Amen. That lets me know the valley may have been long, but the valley was not forever. Amen. And amen, if we'll trust God and we'll let God lead the way, amen, may I say, by His provisions and through His grace, we'll make our way through the valley. Amen, amen. Their progression through the valley, I think, teaches you and I how to make it through our own. So let me give you a few things tonight, and we'll be done. Notice with me tonight in their progress through the valley, I see the locations. There are the locations that are mentioned here. The Bible said, and from the wilderness, they went to, notice the three places, Matanah, Nahaliel, and Bamoth. And if you'll consider tonight that there are three stops along the way that are mentioned in this text. And each of these stops along the way, I have found there is some spiritual truth for you and I to glean from that I believe will help us progress through the valley. Number one, consider the first stop that they make as they're making their way through this valley. The Bible called it a place known as Matanah. Matanah, when you study it out, literally means a gift or a present. And when you study it out, it is in the sense of a gift or present, as it were, a sacrificial offering. And so they come to this place, Matanah, and it implies the giving of a gift. It implies the sacrificial offering of a present. And I thought about that, about the spiritual application to you and I tonight. I believe this speaks of the sacrifice of life. And we understand the New Testament principle to this would be in that familiar verse there in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Amen. Where Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. Which is your reasonable service. And we understand tonight, amen, that the Christian life is about laying our own life down. Amen. The reason so many people suffer through their valley and even die in their valley and don't make much spiritual progress is, amen, they never make the stop by Matanah, amen, and learn how to give themselves a sacrifice to God. Amen. In this matter, going back to Romans 12, we understand that this involves you and I, amen, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. Understanding the will of the Lord and giving our lives, amen, to God as a sacrifice to Him. Amen. My body, my life, my spirit, my mind, my heart, amen, ought to be a sacrifice to God for Him to use. Amen. So many folk, my friend, through the valley, they allow their flesh to dominate. They allow their own ambitions and desires to get in the way of the progress God wants to bring in their life spiritually. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, if we're going to make it and progress through the valley, amen, there'll have to be the sacrifice of our life. Amen. We can make it through the valley when we lay our lives down and die to self. Say, how do I make it through the valley? How do I live through the valley? Amen. You crucify yourself. If you're going to live through the valley, you got to die. If you're going to make it and stand on a Pisgah spiritually in your life one day, amen, it involves a mortifying of the deeds of the flesh and a dying, amen, to our ambitions and a dying to our will and a laying it all down before God and saying, God, you can have everything that I am. And too many folk in this iron day we live, Amen. They're conformed to the world. This is so foreign. Amen. So foreign, such a foreign concept. Amen. And in opposition to the world and what the world would say about the hard times. Amen. The world would say, be everything you can be. Amen. Follow your dreams and follow your ambitions and save your life for yourself. Amen. But God says, lay your life down. Amen. Sacrifice it. Amen. Learn what it is in the valley. Amen. God wants to teach us, amen, how to lay down our lives as a sacrifice. Matana, there's a lot we could preach there, probably preach a whole sermon on that truth. Notice number two, Nahaliel. I like this one. The name Nahaliel, you'll study it out, get you Strong's when you get home. And you'll find that it comes from a line of words that are rooted in a meaning that it simply says strength, the strength or might of the Almighty. The strength or the might of the Almighty. And so if Matana speaks to you and I of the sacrifice of life, of our life or of our flesh, then Nahaliel speaks of the strength of our God. You say, preacher, how do I progress through the valley? Amen. I think we've got to learn what Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10 said, where Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You cannot progress through the valley so long as you are dependent upon your own strength. Amen. Nahaliel, the stubborn Nahaliel. Amen. This is how God gave it to me, Brother Jerry. I told you it's a little weird and a little strange, but amen, if we're going to make it, we've got to be tapped into the strength of our God. People die in valleys spiritually, amen, when they're running in their own strength. Amen, there'll be a weariness that has set in. Amen, there'll be a tiredness spiritually that falls upon us. Amen, but God's strength never fails. Amen, God never gets weary and our God never gets tired. And if we're going to progress through the valley and make it to the mountaintop, amen, we must learn how to operate in the strength of our God. Amen, that's good preaching, Brother Jeff. Really tonight, this is what knowing the Lord as the God of the valleys is all about. It's more than a song where Sister Peg kicks her shoes across the stage. It's more than saying, yeah, that's my God. When we say that He is the God of the valleys, what we are saying is that I can make it through the valley because somehow, some way, God's strength, amen, is for me and working through my life, and I'm dependent on His might and not my own, and I'm counting on Him bringing me through it, and there must be a stop at Nahaliel that teaches us this. Amen. You ain't made it this far because you're somebody. People brag about how strong of a Christian they are, how great of a Christian they are. They ain't any of us great in here tonight. I hate to burst all our bubble. There is none of us that is great in here tonight. We look back over our life in every valley we've been through, and it is God's grace and God's strength that have met us where we are and have brought us through the valleys of our life. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, we've got to learn how to let our God be our strength. Nahaliel, when you look it up and begin to run these definitions, you'll find that it gives a sense that this is the valley of God. The valley of God. You know what would be good in our life, and I believe this is where we get when we tap into God being our strength, is when we quit referencing the valley we're in as our valley and say, it ain't my valley, it's God's valley. It's God's valley. It's God's valley. But preacher, so-and-so did this, and this happened in my life, and this brought me to where I am. No, friend. Amen. Our God is sovereign, and our God is in control. And if He's leading the way, and He's directing our life, and He's bringing us along in this spiritual journey, amen, when I come to a valley, amen, it's as though it is God's valley, not mine. When it is, Brother Larry, I then can rest in His strength, knowing He is the God of the valleys. Yeah. Matana, Nahaliel, how we doing tonight? Hey. Notice with me, Bamoth, this is interesting. Bamoth, you study this out, it'll carry you on, amen, about 20 different directions. Let me show you how the Lord kind of unfolded it to me in light of what we're preaching. Bamoth literally means and simply means heights. Ain't that interesting? Here we're in a valley, and Brother Jeremy, God brings them to a place that is defined as a place of heights. That seems like an oxymoron. Amen. It comes from a line of words, listen to this, but Tim, that are rooted in meaning an owner or master or to be mastered by. Amen. If Matana speaks of the sacrifice of our flesh and Nahaliel speaks of the strength of our God, then I wrote this down tonight in light of that definition that Bamoth, as we progress through the valley, it speaks of the submission to Lordship. That there is a work that God desires to do in our life. And that if we're going to make it through the valley and progress till we stand atop Pisgah, then we must come to a place in our spiritual life where we are submitted to the Lordship of our God. Amen. By the way, He is our owner. By the way, He is our master. The question is, are we being mastered by Him? Have we learned to allow Him to master our life? Amen. You are His by purchased possession. Amen. By redemptive price that He paid. Amen. He owns your life. He owns your soul. He owns your heart. He owns everything about you. Amen. But through this spiritual walk and progression that we're making, God leads us in the valleys to teach us something about submission to Lordship. Amen. Amen. I noted this. That this place with the idea meaning height, notice what the Bible said, and from Bamoth, verse number 20, and from Bamoth, where's it at? In the valley. And so there is a place where, Brother Yale, we're experiencing a high, but we're still in the valley. There's a place that they got to. They're still in the valley, but God lets them feel some height. Where do you get that? You get it when you realize who your Lord is. You get there when you submit yourself to His working and His will. And yes, we may not like the valley yet. And we may not understand the dry land and the dangers that are around and the enemies that we face. Amen. But understanding our God is in control. And I don't have to figure it all out. I just have to submit to His Lordship. And I wrote it down this way. Listen to this. I'm telling you, listen to this. When we are in line with Lordship, our low places become heights. That's a big statement. When we are in line with Lordship, it don't matter how low the valley is, our low places become heights. Preacher, I just can't get there. Keep submitting. Amen. Keep falling in line with God. Keep doing what He's mastering in your life. Amen. In line yourself with that. Amen. And I'm glad in the valley. Amen. In the valley, when we're in line with that. Amen. Our low places. I thought about wording it this way, but when you read the phrase high places in the Word of God, it ain't good. But will you let me use it that way? Amen. Our low places become high places. When, preacher? When my life lines up with His Lordship. When I submit to Him and say, Lord, whatever You want to do. You want me to walk through a valley? I'll walk through a valley. You want my life to be betrayed? Then whatever You want, that's what it is. I'm submitted to You. You want me to hurt? I'll hurt. Lord, I am submitted to Your Lordship. Lord, You want my life to feel pain? I'll feel pain. If that's what You want, You're the Master. You're the Lord. When you get in line with that truth, that's when your valleys, amen, you find a little hill. You find a little rising in your valley scenes. Does that make sense? I feel like shouting right there. Amen. The location, amen, of their progress. Number two, notice the looking in their progress. I got to hurry. I've got 3 points, but the last one's just, I'm just going to give one statement and I'm done. So let me preach this. The looking. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Notice here, they're progressing through the valley. Amen. From Matana to Nahaliel, from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley. That is in the country of Moab. Notice where the Lord takes them. And it's like they're in the valley 1 minute, and then the Bible said to the top of Pisgah. Just like that, amen, with nothing but a comma separating, amen, the two different environments. There is a valley. They're progressing. They're progressing. They are trusting God. They, amen, are being led by God. And then, but Gerald, one comma changes it all. It doesn't tell us how they climbed Pisgah. It doesn't tell us how many steps it was to the top. It just said they found their way to the top of Pisgah. When they got there, the Bible said, which looketh. When you get to Pisgah, oh, hallelujah. Let me give you this. Pisgah literally means it means the hill, or it means a cleft. And really the idea is there is a cleft in the top of the hill for you to hide yourself in. Amen. They're in the country of Moab. Moab is their enemy. Moab, just a few pages over, is going to seek the cursing and the destruction of Israel. God had brought them to the top of Pisgah. Amen. Right smack dab in the midst of the land of their enemy. Amen. God had a hill. God had a cliff. And God had a shelter for His children. Amen. Oh, what did David say? Amen. When the enemy was coming to him, he said, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. Take me beyond how high I can go. Amen. Lord, take me beyond myself. Amen. Let me stand on top of some high mountain somewhere. In the place of their enemy. Amen. In the place of their enemy, God brings them to something that is more than a high in their valley. Now God is letting them experience a mountaintop experience. Pisgah. Will y'all let me preach for a minute? Amen. It's 7 o'clock. We're off the radio. I was hoping to be done right there, but amen, it ain't happening. I got to finish this. Note, when you think about Pisgah, this is a very significant place, beginning in our text, clear through to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, Pisgah is significant in three things. And I say the looking because when we're introduced to it, it says, amen, they came to the top of Pisgah, which looketh. God began to give them some insight into some things from the mountaintop that they did not have in the valley. In fact, but Charlie, the word Pisgah, it not only means the cleft or the hill, but it conveys an idea as you study that name back through the roots of its Hebrew word and origin, where it literally means a contemplation or a consideration. Pisgah is where, and you see it in the text and where we're at, and came the top of Pisgah, which look at, they're able to see something. They're able, amen, to bring into view some things that they could not see before they found themselves in Pisgah. There's some insight. There's some things to consider when you get in Pisgah. Amen. Will y'all bear with me a minute? Notice this, notice what we can consider when we progress through the valley and stand on spiritual Pisgah. Number one in our text, I'll use this one because it's the first thing that seems to be what they saw. The Bible said, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. Say, preacher, what is Jeshimon? Jeshimon, but Gerald, I double dog dare you, look it up. Go home, look it up. It literally means desolation or a wasteland. The first thing that they see as they progress through the valley, and God brings them to the top of Pisgah, and the Bible said it looks toward Jeshimon. Amen. Here's how I wrote it down. Amen. The first thing that they saw, the first thing they looked at, amen, we see what desolations God has kept us from. In the valley, we think it can't get any worse. In the valley, all we can feel and sense is, this is the absolute worst thing I have ever been through. But you get on the mountaintop, and the first thing you'll see is that God didn't let it be as bad as it could have been. I have learned that time and time again in my spiritual life in the 25 years I've been saved. I've been walking through valleys going, Lord, when you get feeling sorry for yourself and you trip over your poochie lip, somehow, some way, God brings you through and progresses you through, and you stand on the mountaintop and going, hallelujah, and you go looking around and you go, oh, God has been better to me than I deserved. It could have been worse. Jeshimon speaks of the fact that God didn't let us die in a wasteland. Did we go through the wilderness? Yes. Did we go through the valley? You better believe it. Were we thirsty and dry at times? Yes. But God sustained us. And God gave us a drink of water. And God brought us along the way and progressed our spiritual life. And we look back and we can say, amen, from Pisgah, I consider now and I can contemplate. And I can see clearly now what I could not see down there is that God kept me from desolation. Amen. God is good to us in bringing us to a place where we can begin to see things differently than we do in the valley. Number two, Pisgah, we see what God has blessed cannot be cursed. Numbers 23, in fact, beginning in chapter 22, I've got to hurry. The king of Moab comes to a prophet, evidently named Balaam. And Balaam, king of Moab, amen, begins to hire Balaam, amen, to come to where he is and look out over Israel. And he says, what I want you to do, this crowd that God has brought up out of Egypt, they have filled the entire land. There's such a great multitude of them that we are in fear for our lives, that they're going to do to us what they did to the Amorites. And we want you to come down here and bring a curse on them. Balaam makes his way to Balak. and I'm shortening it all out. And he brings him to the first place. And Balaam said, "Well, offer a sacrifice and stay here by your sacrifice, and I'll go over here and I'll talk to God." And Balaam goes over and talks to God, and God says to, and I'm condensing it in the first time, he said, "Balak, I'm not going to curse them, I'm going to bless them." Balaam comes back to Balak and said, "I can't curse them, I got to bless them." And Balak says, "Oh no, that ain't what I paid you to do." Amen. And then the second time, look with me in Numbers 23 and in verse number 14. Notice this. And he brought him, this is Balak bringing Balaam, he brought him into the field of Zophim to the what? The top of Pisgah. That's where the children of Israel had just come from. Amen. That is the mountaintop that God let them dwell on after they came through the valley and built seven altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, "Stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet with the Lord yonder." And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Go again unto Balak and say thus." And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, "What hath the Lord spoken?" And he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with them, and the shadow of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath it were the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lad. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey, and drink the blood of the slain." And Balak said unto Balaam, "Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all." He said, "Whoa, stop. Don't bless them or curse them. Don't say nothing else." Balaam just said a mouthful. He said, "God has blessed his people, and you're their enemy and you're their foe, but God wants you to know from Pisgah that he's already let them know they're blessed." Amen. They weren't perfect, but God wasn't holding their iniquity against him. Amen. They didn't do everything right. What God had blessed and who God had blessed. Amen. There was no curse that could come against them. I say, when you come out of the valley, Pisgah, amen, let's just look out and get a perspective that what God has blessed cannot be cursed. Don't mean that we won't have hard days and battles to fight and more valleys to go through. But Pisgah, if it testifies anything for us to consider, you cannot curse what God has blessed. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 34. I don't have time to deal with all this, but what you'll find from Pisgah is we see a glimpse of where God is taking us. Deuteronomy 34, God brings Moses to the top of Pisgah. From the top of Pisgah, not only could you see Jeshimon, but the Bible said, the Lord said to Moses, he said, "I want you to look to the north and the south and the east and the west of the land of Canaan." He said, "I'm going to show you that." And Moses looked out over there. And Brother Larry, Moses seen all that land flowing with milk and honey. He seen all the land filled with corn and wine. Hallelujah. He got to take all that in. You know what that tells me? When them children of Israel came up out of the valley of Arnon and came to the top of Pisgah, they seen all that as well. God gave them a glimpse of the place that he was taking them. Can I say tonight, I understand that Canaan is not a perfect picture of heaven tonight. It's more a picture of the spirit-filled life and victorious Christian living. I understand that. But I'm preaching tonight, and it fits with what I'm preaching. Sometimes you come out of the valley, buddy, it's long, but it ain't forever, and God progresses us through that. Every now and then, God will let us stand on a mountaintop somewhere, be reminded of the place that the valley and this world and everything we go through, it is not our final home. It's taking us into a better land. Hallelujah, Brother Larry. Get your eyes. Let the Lord progress you through the valley so He can refresh your considerations and contemplations again that we're headed to a better country. I see the looking and I see the locations. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but notice the leaving. They can't stay at Pisgah forever, Brother Mike. The very next place you find them through the remainder of the end of chapter 21, they have a battle with the Amorites. And when you come into chapter 22 and in verse number 1, look at that right there. Read that out loud there, brother. 22:1.
And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side, Jordan, by Jericho.
By Jericho. They make their way. They're in the land of Moab right by the Jordan River. And you know what God does right there? He's getting them ready to leave. That's where they're going to stay till you come to the book of Joshua chapter number 1. The entire rest of Numbers and the entire book of Deuteronomy is all Israel staying right there by the Jordan River, and God begins to give them commandments. God begins to give them words to live by. God begins to give them truth to hang their faith on. And Jonathan, what he's doing, he's getting them ready to leave. Getting ready to leave the wilderness and make a crossing. Can I say, I believe we're in the last days. And we're going through some valleys in these days. Every now and then God lets us kind of pop up at the top, come to the top of the hill of Pisgah and look over and we go, oh yes, heaven's still in sight.
Hey.
It may be tonight God is getting us ready to leave. Amen. This leave faithful, this leave receiving His commandments. This leave, my friend, ready and prepared, amen, to meet our God and receive all He has for us. I'm done right there. Come on, sister, if you would. I don't know if that's a help to anybody. And I know that's kind of a weird text to preach from. But amen, it's how the Lord has put it together. I'm glad I know the God of the valleys. Amen. You can make it, child of God. You can make it through the valley. We looked at this morning, God will provide something to help us in the middle of it. But from there, God don't want us just hanging out around the well. He wants us to progress through the valley and make it through the end of it. Amen. Let's stand together.